This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am Chris Spangle. Over there on the cat couch is Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you?
I am doing well, Chris. How are you?
You are sitting on Bear's favorite bear, formerly known as Cornelius. That is her favorite resting position. That's where she hangs out and watches TV.
I see. So, two names.
Right. So, cool. So when you leave, be sure to dust off the behind.
I got you.
All right. That's why I did not make our guest this week sit on that couch, because she's wearing a black outfit, and I didn't want her covered in cat fur, which is crazy lonely people glitter, Hannah, by the way. Hannah Drozich joins us again. Hannah, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hannah has, when was the last time you were on? Like at least a year, right?
Probably more than that.
More than that.
The Boston bombing, I believe. You were on that episode.
It was about a year ago then.
Yeah, so it was about a year. And in that time, lots changed for you.
It's true.
But you're still a scumbag Republican, right?
Always.
Right. So we're going to talk a little bit about 2016 this year. So we wanted a true scumbag Republican. Greg has his feet in the scumbag Libertarian and the scumbag Republican camps.
I'm scumbag curious.
Right. He's bi-scumbaggy.
Bi-scumbag.
And, but, so we needed a true Republican Party hack to, translate to us, what is the appeal of all these old white men? So we'll get to that in just a minute, but let's talk about you, Hannah.
Okay.
Let's put you on the spot.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself again. In a year, I'm sure the people have forgotten, who are you, and what are your qualifications?
I'm very disappointed if people forgot me, because I'm awesome.
Well, now they just turned off their radio.
I worked for the National Right to Work Committee for a while in 2012. That qualifies me to be somewhat libertarian. And then following that, I completely threw the libertarian out the window and worked on the Romney campaign through 2012.
That's where the scumbag part came in.
Now, the Romney bot.
Now, how would you relate to libertarianism? I mean, would you consider yourself a libertarian in any way, on any issues?
Well, I took a quiz on Facebook.
All right.
And it showed that I was pretty much equal libertarian and Republican.
I thought it was like 83% libertarian.
Well, it said I agreed with libertarians 83% of the time, and I agreed with Republicans 83% of the time. And now I know that Greg stalks me on Facebook.
No, you, like, for some reason that showed up and it, like, asked me to take it. Did you, like, share it after your results?
No.
Oh, it was like a notification.
So,
whatever.
What are the things that you agree with libertarians on?
I really like, honestly, this is going to separate me a lot from Republicans, is I am a huge fan of cutting back the military. I don't agree completely with libertarians in how much it needs to be cut back, but I definitely think that needs to be, it's just out of control, and there's just too much going on with the military. I'm also a fan of cutting back big government. I'm not an end the Fed person at all.
But I
don't like how big it is. I don't like that I was in D.C. last weekend and walked past huge IRS buildings and wanted to throw up.
Yes. Now, would you say that within the Republican Party, we're here in Indiana, we're based out of Indianapolis. Here's a creepy fact, Greg. I met Hannah because she lived in the same apartment complex that I used to live at.
Cholo Run.
I don't live there anymore.
Cholo Run. I don't live there either anymore.
Thank God.
That's what I say every week when we begin this program. Now, you have moved.
Yes.
And you live, like, just as close to me as you did before. I'm pretty sure you're stalking me.
Not quite as close. No, you moved after I moved, so.
Oh, I'm stalking you then. Her fiance's name is Chris, so she's clearly a smart woman.
I question my sanity quite often.
Now,
seconded.
Now, so you hang out in the Indiana GOP. Would you say that there...
Not really.
Well, but more than I do, that's for sure.
True.
Would you say that there are... what... You know, the Republican Party supposedly is going through this libertarian renaissance, and everybody in the Republican Party, especially under the age of 40, they're all libertarians now. Now, when you compare me to the quote-unquote libertarians in the Republican Party and the stuff that I believe and the stuff that you and I have talked about, how many libertarians would you say are in the Republican Party that you've worked with, like, at the strategy level? Because you worked on campaigns, you worked on... You worked with people who are paid by the political apparatus in Indiana. Like, how many people...
Are you saying in Indiana or in general? Because I haven't really worked for the Republican Party.
Well,
yeah,
you've worked in Montana and New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So that's a better question. And you've worked, I think, in D.C. just a little bit, right?
Yeah, for a little while. Not long.
So we hear all the time, like, oh, the Republican Party is becoming more libertarian. The people who are our age, who work in the Republican Party, they're definitely libertarian. Now they can say that, and you say that you're libertarian, that's one thing, but when you sit there and you compare them to like somebody like me, we're not even going to go to like Maya, because that's, you know, if you're working for the Republican Party, you're nowhere near, you know, voluntarist, but
yeah, no.
How many true libertarians would you say work for the Republican Party?
I don't really think there's any, honestly. Especially higher, there is a movement in my age group to go more libertarian, much more libertarian. We're just fed up, honestly. But at the same time, the Republican Party as a whole doesn't really take to that. And everybody that's in those lead strategy positions, they're not at all libertarian.
Right. So they're, and I'm not talking about the party. I'm talking about the policy positions, the ideologies, the differences. Because if you work for the Republican Party, you're not supporting the LP, that's for sure.
No. I don't know. I really don't think, just because my age, like, breaking it up, people that are still even just in general more influential in the Republican Party, whatever level it is, even going all the way down to county level and up, it's all older people. They haven't let the younger people break in. They just haven't.
So would you say that when one of these Republican operatives say they're libertarian, that's more a code word for counter-establishment?
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
See, I think it's just code word for not a social conservative.
That's probably a lot of
it. You know what I mean? Because, like, they're still very, like, here in Indiana, like the gentleman we were talking about earlier up in Lake County, and there's some other elected representatives and people that run various youth oriented organizations within the GOP.
When you say youth, it sounds like Nazis.
You said it, not I.
Stop that.
No. But the only people who actually get leadership positions are the social conservatives, sure, and the fiscal
yes,
conservatives.
Like, if you want to be something that's not approved, then you're nothing. That's honestly part of why I haven't gotten involved in Indiana. It's a big part, because I don't
hate gays.
I don't. I have very wonderful gay friends that I love to be with. And have taken wedding dress shopping
now,
with me
now
and all that
stuff.
Now
let's revisit that be with part. Never mind. Continue.
Anyways, so it just like for me to get into a very establishment, in Indiana is very Republican, very establishment centric. Like, you have to dot all your I's and cross all your T's in order to be accepted. There's no point for me to even try, because I won't do it.
You'll get banned.
I kind of have been in certain senses.
Yep.
And I'm 30. You are how old?
I'm 23.
Are you comfortable sharing that on the
yeah,
internet?
I had okay to think about how old I was.
Okay. So essentially, we are
ancient,
a generation apart. And so all the guys that I, when
not
I was
quite
in, when, well, when I was in school in 2004, like I was asking you people earlier, I'm like, do you know this guy? Do you know that guy? You're like, I've never heard of them. That's because they're all out of politics by now. They're all old and retired like me. But
that's smart.
In 04, I was, that was the year of gay marriage, and I was, I wouldn't say that I was as far down, I wasn't as down with the struggle as I am now, but I certainly was like, I don't see the point in putting discrimination into the federal constitution. And so I sort of agreed with Democrats and liberals and libertarians in 04, and that almost got me impeached. in 2004 with the College Republicans, and it certainly hindered my ability to move up the ladder. And so, yeah, I felt like if I want to get anywhere in the Republican Party, I have to change my beliefs, and I just wasn't going to do it, and that's how I got involved in the LP.
I will say, for if you want to talk slightly about gay marriage, I will say there has been change in that in the Republican Party. We just saw HJR3 go through, well, all that whole battle, and there were quite a few Republicans that were on both sides of the aisle. And
but they weren't in leadership positions.
It certainly is.
I hate that. Like, if anything, Brian Bosma should have been up there saying no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's such a champion of marriage.
Can I throw up?
So what are some of the issues that these so-called libertarians and somebody who, you know, would be a Libertarian Party member, what are some of the issues where we agree? I mean, gay marriage might be one.
Definitely.
So I get the sense when you hear from a lot of these guys in the GOP establishment, yet they call themselves libertarians, they agree on gay marriage. They agree that there should be a scaling down of the military.
But not a lot of Republicans, even young Republicans, think that. Like, everybody still kind of has that 01, 02 kind of mindset of shock and awe and let's go get the Taliban kind of thing going
okay.
on.
Okay. All right.
That's
so
still
huge. So it's really foreign policy that's the huge breaking point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a shame because for so long, that hadn't really been, that was not decided. I mean, I don't know if you know about the history of the National Review, but the reason the Republican Party is so neoconservative is because the paleoconservative writer and contributor at the National Review quit. And like that is a really interesting discussion because I laughed when, I think it was Rachel Maddow called Glenn Beck a paleoconservative.
Right.
It was such like an arcane term. Like, why throw that out just to demonstrate how intelligent you are? But it's funny, ended up reading about it, and paleoconservatives they're not quite non-interventionist, but they believe that since different cultures are very distinct and different systems of government are right for that culture, and maybe democracy isn't correct based on that societal structure.
Yeah, Pat Buchanan would be probably the most well-known paleoconservative out there, and he founded American Conservative to challenge National Review and Potterts and some of these other neocons.
Rich Lowry. How should we respond to 9/11, Rich? We should nuke Medina. Crickets.
Right. Which is so funny. When you hear about the beginning of the National Review, you read about Buckley. Like, I have a book probably on my bookshelf over there. It's The Libertarian Writings of William F. Buckley. I mean, and it's...
He identified himself early on as a libertarian.
Right. I mean, Murray Rothbard was on the... Yeah. On the early the first board until he got into a fight with another libertarian.
Yeah.
Shocking.
I forget which, because Kirk was on that board too. Kirk, and Kirk hated the guy that was the libertarian.
It was Frank Meyer.
Frank Meyer, the fusionist. Yeah.
Right. Frank Meyer and William F. Buckley just said, go at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, write out your. And that's sort of the spirit of what we try to do is, hey, you may not agree with Greg or Maya or me or Hannah or the people that we have on here, but. You know, it's good to hear different points of view from the same realm. And that was Buckley's point of view. And Frank Meyer hated, and Russell Kirk hated each other. So, an early schism. But Buckley had the personality to pull it all together. So
much like you do.
Yes, yes. With great strength and personality, force of will, and a large vocabulary. and rugged good looks, I might add, just like William F. Buckley.
You're just missing the what is it? The Mid-Atlantic. what do they call it? The Mid-Atlantic. Having a brain fart for a minute, but it's your dialect or accent. Sorry, the Mid-Atlantic accent. It's what all the old Hollywood stars had to learn. It.
So, Mr. Lenz, now let me ask you a question.
That's your Civil War accent.
Yeah, with my clipboard and my legal pad. So we've digressed, but. Good to hear that. So, what when they hear the word libertarian, these Republican kids or whatever, and we're not talking about like Young Americans for Liberty, we're talking about like the people who are running the campaigns right now, the people who are running your state senate, your congressional campaigns, senate campaigns, and if you,
you essentially.
essentially the level that I was at for the Libertarian Party or the people who are my peers, we're not talking about the people who are kind of, you know, the Ron Paul Republicans. We're talking about, like, you go to these cocktail parties and you talk to these, oh, yeah, I'm a libertarian. I agree with you on a lot. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, well, do you think we should pull out of Afghanistan? Oh, no. Well, then, see, that's why you don't want me to come back to the Republican Party. So I find it interesting. It's a good point of view. You've earned your keep here. We'll let you stay for the rest of the podcast.
Thanks.
But and ultimately, the reason you're no longer in it is because you quickly realized that unless you kiss the ring and say the right things and believe the right things, there's not a huge future.
That's true. I don't do a good job of that. I'm not a kiss the ass
she does
person.
Not.
I think my own thoughts and
well, whatever say your spouse tells you to think.
Oh, I'm not married.
Yeah, you don't know me. So now, how do you get ahead in the Republican Party? So you were working for Right to Work.
I don't know. I quit.
Yeah, I know, but I'm. I know. Yeah, you and me were lousy at it.
Apparently.
But there's a reason that you and I quit and are not trying to get ahead in the Republican Party and move up the ladder to work for Mike Pence and then become on the, you know, his presidential campaign. So
you have no plans of doing that?
Yeah. So what does it take to become a party hack for the Republicans and the Democrats? It's the same exact thing. It's just we're familiar with the Republican Party here in Indiana. So what do you, as a young person, how do you get involved in politics and make it a career?
To kiss a whole bunch of ass.
Right.
And what does that... You have to literally do whatever anybody tells you because they've been in it for however much longer than you have, and they know all about it, and they have all the connections, and if you don't, then they can stop your career, or they won't introduce you to people, or
right. That's
pretty much it.
So what if you have an ideological disagreement with one of these people?
You don't bring it up.
Right. Trojan horse it.
Right.
It's true.
But eventually, people find out your true beliefs, and then...
It was never eventually for me. I always told them.
Right. Hannah's a little bit of a loudmouth, apparently.
I'm not a loudmouth.
Well, that's what you're describing yourself as.
I just don't keep my mouth shut.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what I think. Like, that's always a good life strategy.
Let me explain to you why you're wrong and prove it.
Oh, I did that a couple times.
Yeah, people don't love to hear that.
It did not set me up very well either.
Well, you got banned.
I didn't.
You were kicked out.
I was almost kicked out. I almost got fired from the Romney campaign.
Why?
Because I said that my boss was wrong, and then he got really mad and almost fired me, and then I was proven right about 5 days later.
Did you really not believe Mormons can fly?
Really?
Oh. Well, I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sad reality, and that's sort of, this goes to the heart of, can the parties be changed from the inside? And, you know, I certainly never, after my experience in the Republican Party, I never thought so. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound like it's changed in the new great libertarian age, because you've been active in politics here in Indiana, the last 4 years?
Three and a half years.
The years when libertarians are supposed to get ahead. Now, you are not necessarily, I would say, a self-identifying libertarian, but...
Nope. I still vote Republican.
Sure.
But no. You share, but that, at the heart of conservatism is a lot of libertarianism.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why the libertarians branched off the Republicans, not the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. So there is, it's why I have never thought that the Republican Party can be reformed from the inside. And we're going to do 2016 candidates and Rand Paul here in a second. It's just because of the stark realities. And if you're a candidate, you know, this is just from the operative point of view. From the candidate point of view, you have... It's even tougher because you've got to raise money. So instead of trying to get a job and keeping your beliefs to yourself, you've got to keep a lot of your ideologies. You know, it's Rand Paul's walking the tightrope.
He is doing, yeah exactly
you
that.
You know, and that's part of the reason I think that he won't be successful is because it's hard to trust him if you're one of these 78-year-old women in the straw hats at the bingo hall on a Friday night at the precinct committeeman's meeting. I don't know about that, Rand Paul. I'm not sure if he's going to support Israel all the way. I'm not sure if he's going to let the gays get married. He might like pot. I heard he likes this thing called Aqua Buddha. I just think that it's really tough if you're... She's laughing hysterically because...
We have a B6.
I accurately described the entire Republican Party in Indiana, did I not?
Basically.
Yeah. These 78-year-old ladies in straw hats with the Romney and Bush and Reagan buttons on.
Daughters of the American Revolution.
So, but if you're a candidate, you've got to go to... If you're a candidate and you want serious funding, it's a business decision. You're going to people who run big law firms, people who run big corporations, people who are going to want favors for their campaign contribution.
And not always small government favors.
Sure. So I wish that this was cheerier news, and we'll get to how to fix it later, as we usually do. But I think it's always good to kind of take the temperature to see where we're at. Let's see where we're at in 2016. It's never too early to start talking about a presidential campaign, is it, Greg?
I could talk presidential politics all the time.
I know.
I cannot.
This is the only one that we promise. This is the only one that we'll do for a little bit. But, you know, there's moving and shaking happening. It's starting to be talked about a little bit. And we wanted to see Hannah again for her yearly visit. So we figured we'd bring in our scumbag Republican friend and... ply her with beer and gluten-free pizza.
Good stuff.
Our little democracy exporter.
What was your first reaction, Hannah, when you heard there was oil on a moon of Jupiter?
What?
There's oil on one of the moons of Jupiter.
Greg, Titan.
What was your reaction?
Call Elon Musk, because Lord knows NASA isn't getting us there.
We need to free the out of that planet.
Yep. I hear Australia might have oil.
Yeah. So...
Dude, we got enough oil here. What are we worrying about
planet? Oh, are you going to start chanting Drill Baby Drill?
I don't like Sarah Palin that much.
All right. Well, you can stay then.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts on Sarah Palin? You're a young Republican lady.
I dislike her immensely.
Why?
She's bubbly. Have you ever tried to sit in a room where she is speaking and not have your ears start bleeding?
No.
Well, it's entertaining.
Right.
It's awful. She has a super high-pitched voice, first of all, that grates on my nerves. Okay. Anyways, that's my catty part of me coming out. Second of all, she ran for vice president, lost, should have just faded back into the Alaska where she's from. And instead, she just kind of continued with this uber social conservatism crap.
But she's a libertarian, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. She's one of the, like, people get...
Tea Party Express. She's not libertarian. Right. There's a big difference.
Huge difference.
Social.
Hey, what's your what are you scowling over there for, Greg?
I think the Tea Party's irrelevant, especially if this North Carolina election.
Brannon?
Yeah, yeah, Brannon versus Tillis.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Tillis ended up winning the establishment Republican in a landslide.
Right.
Like, the Tea Party candidate barely beat the Baptist minister that didn't, like, campaign at all.
Right.
You know, they are slowly but surely going away and dying.
Was that the one Romney came in and stumped for the speaker of, he was like the speaker of the House of North Carolina, and then Rand Paul came in and stumped for the other guy?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And it caused like a bunch of friction because Rand Paul was going counter-establishment.
And Reuters said it was his first misstep in his 2016 presidential positioning.
First of many.
Yeah. Greg, as usual, I've done no homework. I know nothing. I'm just your glowing host sitting here asking the questions.
You're the Larry King of We Are Libertarians.
Let's start. We're gonna go through the three parties. We'll start with the Republicans, so Hannah can talk, and then we'll get to the Democrats and the Libertarians, and then she can sit quietly and go, ew, ew.
Wait, I thought we already established that I don't sit quietly.
I know, but okay. you're not gonna want to talk about libertarian and democratic politics because you're a scumbag Republican.
Who says I don't care? Well, actually, I don't. But
yeah,
Hillary voter.
Yep, you voted for Hillary, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, see, listen, you are independent, right?
Totally.
Uh huh. Yeah, right. Operation Chaos. Uh-huh. That worked out well.
Sink USOC, hey, Commander in Chief.
Hey, Greg voted for Hillary too.
I was a willing participant in Operation Chaos.
I was too.
I still love Rush Limbaugh. He's the greatest comedy on radio.
At that point in my life, I agree. I used to follow Rush Limbaugh. I used to listen to him every day. I used to record him if I couldn't listen to him.
Oh wow!
I'm telling you,
Rush Limbaugh.
The lessons, and it's not his policies. It's not his beliefs.
Smart. That dude is smart.
Yeah. Oh no, he is. But there's no doubt about it. Rush Limbaugh is great to learn his tactics. He infuriates liberals, but he's oftentimes, he just, like he says, he illustrates the absurd by being absurd. Like, right, the other day when he goes, you know how you can prevent abortions? Make liberals do it with a gun. Oh, and I was like, wow, and you're exactly right. I was like, that's huge. That's incredibly offensive, but you, the principle's no different.
That is one of the most offensive.
You know, and I was just
horrifying. I mean,
when he got started, he used to have the aborted caller hotline where if he didn't like you, he'd hit it and it was like a vacuum that would suck the caller out and you'd hear him go, oh!
Okay, speaking of abortion, since you're talking about it for 2 seconds,
oh, no.
Did you see the girl that videoed her abortion? Did you see that?
You know what? Something is jogging my memory, and longtime listeners of this program are having their memory jogged as well. Because you came on the podcast.
And it turned into Abortion Fest 2012.
Yeah. Like, she got on the air and couldn't wait to start talking about abortions.
It's not true.
It is true. I have to go back and re-listen to that episode.
I remember it very well. Because you were on two, actually. You weren't just on one,
oh,
I believe.
Oh, that's right.
I was on two. I know I was.
You were on, the first one was the abortion one. The second one was the Boston bombing.
Massacre.
And that's when I said I wanted to black out the sky with drones. And then you were like, and everyone was like, you mean nukes? I'm like, no, that'd be way too humane. And then you go, stop trolling. Quit it.
And that's why you now have the reputation of being the, what does Roger Paxton call you? You're going to Arkansas to free Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm going to export freedom to Arkansas.
Right, if he didn't keep his mouth shut.
Yep, I'm going to sell him to Texas and it'll be like a little Ukraine-Russia type thing here in the United States.
All right, so let's start in on 2016 and Republican Party politics, and then we'll go to the Democrats and the Libertarians. So, Greg, give us an overview. And then we'll kind of go one by one by why these guys are terrible.
So the most recent polling as of May 1st for 2016 national has Rand Paul at 13, has Mike Huckabee at 12, has Jeb Bush at 13, has Chris Christie at 10, Rick Perry's in there at 6, Mike Pence is under 1%. Scott Walker, though, is in there at 8. And then Bobby Jindal's at 4. Mike Huckabee's up there, though. He's up there around 8-9.
Yeah, but what about Kasich? Is he mentioned in this?
Kasich's not mentioned at all. But, I mean, that's the thing. The governors, outside of Scott Walker and Christie, they haven't been visible yet.
Right.
And Portman as well. Rob Portman, the one before. He was before Kasich, right?
Yeah, Kasich. Portman was on the very short list of veeps for Romney.
That's right. He did the... He pretended he was Obama in the first debate prep, and like everybody cheered him.
Yeah, and he was. I think he has a gay son.
Yeah,
and so he came out for gay marriage to support a son. And I think that was after Paul Ryan. I think it was after the 2012 election.
That's another one. Paul Ryan's up there at like 4. Marco Rubio's up there. He's high. He's right around 7.
Of course he is.
It's a really like. There's no standout because Jeb Bush hasn't been relevant in a few years.
I don't get why he's even considered. I don't understand Jeb Bush.
Let's start with Jeb Bush.
Let me ask you this: of the two Bush brothers, which one went to an Ivy League school?
It's George.
Yeah, Jeb didn't. He went to University of Texas. Like people that consider him this brainiac,
no,
that he is not. The only reason he even got a job is because James Baker gave him one at this international bank, and it was like a PR job. While his brother was out building an oil company.
Do y'all want to know a secret? Well, it's not such a secret. I have the biggest crush on George Bush. George W. Bush.
George W. Bush?
George W. Bush.
Or George P. Bush?
Yes.
George P. Bush being the...
Jeb's son.
Yes, he is very... Okay. But no.
He's the most high potential Bush there is.
He's got a lot of potential. But anyways, back to George W. I have the hugest crush on him.
Not relevant. Back to Jeb Bush.
Care.
We'll talk about how hot I think Hillary is later, just to even out the score.
Wow.
So back
I'm
to Jeb
sure
Bush.
That's evening it out.
Bush has a record as a governor, and is he the one who eliminated income tax in Florida? Was that just non-existent forever?
Yep, that wasn't him.
Okay,
his big initiatives were the education initiative, the high-speed rail in Florida. Let's see, he did a bunch of protection for the Everglades. Another one of his big things.
So he's a greenie?
Mm-hmm.
He's a green lover?
No, he just wanted to conserve the Everglades as a point of Florida pride. And then the 2000 election, though, for his brother, he lost a lot of political capital by not being able to deliver Florida, you know. authoritative, well, you know.
He sort of delivered Florida.
Well, that was James Baker in the Supreme Court. Right. You know, they had to call in the old Bushies. Like, right. Not even Dick Cheney had pulled during that.
And here comes Donald Regan.
Yeah, exactly. I think even Dan Quayle like had a reappearance for 10 seconds during that.
Talk about a guy who has fallen off the face of the earth.
Runs, you know, an investment bank in Scottsdale.
In Arizona, yeah. I mean, Dan Quayle, you'd think, like, being a vice president, he, you know, Al Gore's this billionaire and he's super active. Most vice presidents kind of have some level of profile. Dan Quayle just out of public life. I mean, barely did anything when his son ran for Congress.
I don't blame him.
I don't either. Why, you know?
I mean, he got crucified for thinking there was an E in potato. Right. I think that just like soured him on.
I don't blame him, but yeah, I've always thought that was interesting because he's from Indiana. He lives probably 60 miles from where we're at right now, or was from there. Probably still has a house there. There's a museum there, but no profile here in Indiana. No, you know, never comes to anything. Never goes to anything. You know, probably doesn't in Arizona either.
No, like his office is right in a very like a Carmel of Scottsdale, even which is called Paradise Valley, and that's where his office is, and his house is right there in a gated community, and. He doesn't do anything else. Plays golf a lot.
Right. That's interesting.
But his son, though, is a solid candidate. Like, he's someone to watch as a star for the future.
He seems like a little douche.
No.
Really?
He's not.
No, he seems like a little douche. No. I've seen a few of his commercials. He comes off douchey.
He's like, fine in his voice, but like, he is like
a
Romney.
How many Eagles and Reagan pictures can you fit into a campaign ad?
Well, I mean, yeah. But who doesn't run on Ronald Reagan?
Right.
I mean, for Christ, like that's that article about Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio is the next Reagan.
Right.
Like Ronald Reagan was not even Hispanic.
No. He did look a little swarthy. So Jeb Bush is just your basic establishment candidate. And I think the only attraction that I think most Republicans would have with Jeb Bush is the fact that he can tap into the fundraising networks that both father and son Bush had. And can raise a lot of money and can run on education reform and has some record from Florida that you
he does.
Can
I mean,
spin.
Yeah,
least.
He's got like an Evan Bayh type record. Like
right.
He didn't really do anything of significance, but everything was kind of calm and good. So,
right.
You know, he came out smelling like a rose.
Right. So I think that's the attraction is that he's sort of a safe candidate. He's sort of a Romney candidate where Romney's not sexy, not going to, you know, light any fires. Not going to turn anyone on, but you can make a case for him as an okay manager.
Oh, he'd be an excellent technocrat.
What are you laughing at? What is your smiling about?
She thinks Mitt Romney's attractive.
I do not. I have friends who think he is.
Right, but what do you say? What are you laughing about? What's your problem?
Nothing.
What's your beef?
Nothing.
All right. Well, what do you think of Jeb Bush?
I think we've had two Bushes, and that's enough.
That right there is why Hillary and Jeb are in huge trouble, especially
Seriously.
Jeb.
It's true.
Because if it's Jeb versus Hillary, it's Bush versus Clinton, that's just a no-go. It's just not going to happen. Because it doesn't matter what part of the spectrum you're on, what level of education you have as a voter, another Bush, I don't think so. And his big problem as a candidate is that he lives with the ghost of his brother being an unpopular president.
Nationally, that is his problem. But within the party, the problem is this false perception that he's an intellectual.
Right.
He's not.
Like, George W. has way more academic credentials than Jeb.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like George W. is leaps and bounds above his brother. And maybe even somewhat above his dad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the most charismatic Bush for sure, because Jeb has no charisma whatsoever.
Thus, right. I have a crush on him.
So, Jeb Bush isn't going to happen. He's the Fred Thompson of this field, in my opinion. Everybody wants him to get in, and then he gets in, and then he's the hot thing for about 2 weeks, and then everybody realizes he's a tremendous dud.
Fred Thompson or Herman Cain? Which one?
No, Herman Cain is exciting.
He is exciting.
That dude is a pimp.
I give that dude a lot of props.
He went from a relatively obscure Kansas City Federal Reserve on the board of governors.
I don't even know if I would go with relatively obscure to completely obscure.
Yeah, to leading the Republican Party in polling in like 4 weeks. Like, that is incredible.
And doing it with commercials where he has a pimp smile. He's like, yeah.
It's like an Amazing Grace everywhere he goes.
That is dope, but I feel like the same thing is going to happen in this one because there is no there's no Romney in this field. Perry would be this year's Romney or this election's Romney, but he screwed up bad. He screwed up too bad last time, and he's trying to bring his brand back with his Rachel Maddow glasses, but no one buys that he is no one buys that this is the new Rick Perry, like Rick Perry 2.0.
Right. Is Michelle Bachmann running again?
No,
stop that. Stop that or leave.
Yeah.
LOL.
She's sure the rapture is next year, so she figures why worry? You know, we'll all be up there together.
I spent the night in her district once, and I got out as fast as I could.
Did you go to her husband's
because
homosexual curing camp?
Right.
No.
Did he try to woo you? Okay,
yeah,
so let's talk next about Rick Perry. Because this is the guy that you think is the golden child of the field.
Oh, no. I don't think he's the golden child. He has the most charisma of the establishment picks.
Yeah. I'm not saying that this is Greg's favorite. I'm saying that this is the one that Greg thinks has the best shot at winning the nomination.
He's made a mistake, yeah. But Romney made tons of mistakes his first go-around in 08. So, and he was able to weather the storm. But Perry has a really great way of being populist without being collectivist at all. He's very, very good at talking about almost local style politics. And he also gave the best, he gave the hands down, I don't know if you guys watched it, but his CPAC speech was hands down the best speech. I like Rand Paul is in the party who I most identify with. I didn't say that bad. No, he just is. Like, you know, I feel like he can make change intellectually and philosophically, but he's not the leader of the party by any means. But Perry gave this. He walks out on stage and he goes, "It's about time for some rebellion." And like, even I was like, "By God, yeah,
yeah,
let's secede." I mean, he's got a little bit of that tough guy swagger.
He's got that Bush swagger.
He does, and he also though is a lot better. Thing. He's a great connector with people. Like when Romney looked like it was a sure thing, Rick Perry came out of nowhere and all of a sudden, 1 week into announcing he was running for president, was the leader. He hadn't even met a person from Iowa yet and got like 27%.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to Rick Perry. I think I would definitely vote for him. I see no reason not to. I just don't see him as quite enough.
He's not going to get anything done. That's the problem. He'll run on all this reform.
Getting anything done. Like, I just don't think he's quite what the Republicans need to get to vote.
I think that he has the same problem that that Jeb Bush has, which is the ghost of George W. I think if you close your eyes and listen to Rick Perry, they sound identical. And he has, whether he deserves it or not, he's picking up the mantle of the buffoon Texan, and all those gaffes, anything's going to be blown out of proportion as he's Bush, you know, 3.0, and he's going to have to live with the ghost of George W., whether it's fair or not.
And he had never been a gaffe-prone guy until that debate, and he'd had that really major back surgery, tried to rush it back, and was on morphine, and that's why he had that evil scowl on his look in every single debate. He was sitting there probably high out of his mind, you know, but
who's really for legalizing drugs?
Huh?
Who's really for legalizing
drugs? He had a prescription.
No,
but like Bush is the guy that I think the money's going to flow to. But I think you're right. I think that's Giuliani or Fred Thompson. When you can't even see him on stage in the debates, the money will flock away and he'll pull out.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Perry, I think, will be that next guy because they know what he'll stand for. They know who he is. He'll pull just well enough. They'll put resources behind him because Scott Walker doesn't have a college degree. He can't run. Let's see. Rand Paul scares the hell out of every Republican that's ever met him.
Scares the hell out of everybody.
Bobby Jindal is a really good governor, but on the major stage, he comes off dorky.
Yeah.
You know?
Super dorky.
Paul Ryan's a nerd. He's not going to run anyway because he wants the budget chairman job. Chris Christie is toxic at this point, in my opinion. He'll recover in the debates, but it won't be long before he blows up.
He's not, no.
Well, let's talk about Christie, because Christie, to me, is the perfect example of a candidate that could never win the Republican primaries but would win the presidency.
Yep.
I think the Jersey Bridge scandal,
yeah.
You know, it's political, and Mr. and Mrs. America does not understand it and does not care, and probably would sit there and go, oh yeah, Jersey governor's corrupt and did whatever. I don't care. Whatever. That's why I like
I love Sopranos.
That's exactly right. They loved – he can overcome it because Christie does have that personality that – attracts. He's got that macho swagger to him,
and he's a cult type figure. He really
right.
is.
He doesn't have, you know, while Perry has that macho swagger, it's resented because it reminds us of Bush. It almost seems like Christie has a righteous anger, and that's what people are attracted to.
He's going to tap the conservative anger because he's going to talk about rebellion, but then he's going to go ahead and talk about protecting Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
Right.
You know. Even he's going to have, though, something that pushes him up, because until he has like that Gingrich event when Gingrich told off David or the guy John mm-hmm. King, you know, and rocketed to the top of the Republican Party last go around. That's what Perry's going to need. And if he can pull it off in a debate, they're going to start to funnel around him.
Right.
Especially because Jeb's just going to lay egg after egg in the debates. He's so boring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Same with Jindal, same with Walker, same with, you know, they're just
down
boring.
The line. Same Rubio, with, though, is...
Rubio is my dude.
All right, we'll get to Ruby in a second. Let's stick with Chris Christie. So Christie has no shot of winning the Republican nomination, but what are your thoughts on Chris Christie?
He doesn't have... He's just missing. He's just missing something. There's just something in him, his personality. I look at him like, no. I don't know what it is. I can't put a finger on it, but it's just like this intuitive thing that's just like he doesn't have it.
You don't trust him?
It's not even trust. It's just I feel like he's going to be one of those people who, if elected, he'll just sit in the Oval Office and do nothing.
He'll be indistinguishable from Barack Obama.
Yeah, there's not.
Completely
and it's not
indistinguishable.
Like, it's not like he's going to be, you know, coming up with things like Obamacare. It's just he's not going to be fighting things like Obamacare.
I'm sorry, but which of these guys, other than Rand Paul, is going to be George Bush 4.0 or Barack Obama 2.0? I mean, it's like I really just don't get the sense that we'll get to what the presidency, what importance it actually has at the end of the show, and we'll kind of get into that. But let's stick with the candidates. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so you got, Walker's out. Pence is going to run.
We'll get to Pence last. Let's go to Marco Rubio, because this one here, she seems to be smitten or enamored, whatever, with Marco Rubio, and I can't figure it out, because the dude seems like he would run into the debates through the middle aisle, high-fiving, doing a keg stand. I mean, he just seems like a frat bro.
But does anybody else seem that way? No.
I think that's what
John Cornyn.
That's what his narrative would be.
The forehead.
But this is what we were talking about somewhat earlier. Republicans are just boring. They're the establishment. You have to kiss ass to get up there. You have to just do everything. And he just seems kind of out of the box. He's younger. He's energetic. He's not white. Yeah,
that's
amazing.
My number one, yeah.
No, but it's true. He's not a boring old white guy, which is what we've put up with Romney. We put that up with McCain. We put that up with Bush. We put that up with Quayle. We put that up going back and back and back. It's been boring old white guys. The Democrats didn't put up a boring old white guy. They put up Barack Obama. And
but they wanted to put up a boring old white girl, but Obama was able to beat her.
Right.
Yes, but still. You know, we have a history of just boring old white guys, and that's not what America wants anymore. And especially if people talk about engaging the youth vote. Well, we're not voting for old white guys. Just look at the numbers. We don't like them. They're boring to us. We don't feel like they don't connect to us.
But Marco Rubio, his policies and what he believes are indistinguishable from Mitt Romney. Except for illegal immigration.
But like we talked about earlier, nobody really cares what, like you said, you know, somebody with Chris Christie, well, he had something to do with a scandal, whatever, who cares?
But Rubio doesn't have the kind of personality that wins.
What kind of personality does win? That kind of bombastic.
No, a charismatic individual. Yeah. He's not charismatic at all. Like you didn't watch CPAC? Like he spoke at CPAC.
I don't watch anything CPAC.
Well, I mean, he spoke at CPAC and It was absolutely atrocious. I mean, he was so nervous delivering the responding to the State of the Union. But he performed horrible. Bobby Jindal, who gave the worst until him. You know what I mean?
But maybe that's what America wants. We don't want somebody that we think just has a ton of money and can sit up there and do nothing. We want somebody who's more relatable to us.
And Chris Christie, though, is way more of a guy's guy than Marco Rubio.
I'm a girl. I don't care.
Yeah, but what she's saying is Marco Rubio, she trusts that he shares the things that they're both guys' guys, but Chris Christie, there's a trust factor there that he's going to be a little too sympathetic towards the left and what they want and not fight hard enough on conservative things, whereas a Marco Rubio allegedly would not do that.
Like amnesty?
You're right. So I don't buy it. I think of all the actors running for president, Marco Rubio is the most Hispanic.
There's no arguing that.
I mean, there's no arguing he's the most
Jeb
Hispanic.
Jeb Bush did marry Hispanic, right. But he is not Hispanic.
I get the sense that like Marco Rubio is just like your typical politician where he's playing politician. Like he's...
Isn't like, that what they all do?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think... Rand Paul, Ron Paul truly believe what they believe. I think
well,
Ted Cruz.
They're unique people.
I think Ted
so
Cruz,
is Ted Cruz
legit oh, believes everything.
Ted Cruz is one that I didn't mention, he's not going to leave that Senate chair. That Senate position. I don't think.
I knew. Well, I kind of knew before, but the minute he held that filibuster was the minute I knew he announced for president, and that kind of made me angry a lot.
I don't think he's going to run, personally.
I don't know, but that
the chosen Hispanic has already got a seat at the table.
Yeah, but he's Canadian. He's not.
That's true, too. There are questions about if he is a plant.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just saying 98% live on the border.
Yep.
So Marco Rubio, to me, just seems like an empty suit. Like, he just, he's like a walker. He's like some of these other guys. Not that they're not smart. Not that they're not talented politicians. Not that they're not, there isn't substance to them. The Walkers, the Jindals, the Rubios, they all just kind of, they're just the same to me. They're just sort of bland. They're just sort of, they're
checklist
candidates. They repeat the same talking points. They kind of have a clean record. There's just nothing about them
that may or may not be clean.
You're right. There's nothing that stands out about them or is special about them. Like, you know,
Marco Rubio's Hispanic. He does not blend in.
I'm sorry, but we're in the millennial generation where 50% of our generation is multi-ethnic.
Yeah.
Right,
so it doesn't really matter.
We're also in a generation where we've only had one black president.
We're also...
What? He's black?
No, he's actually white, but paints his skin.
I do understand your point that where you, as a conservative, you see a Barack Obama go on the Tonight Show, and they're... Like, Barack Obama's funny. He's... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not one of these knee-jerk people who just say everything Obama does sucks. Like, culturally, Barack Obama gets it.
Well, yeah.
Politically, presidentially, he's just clueless. But when he's on The Tonight Show, he's great and can connect with people that way. So I could see how young conservatives would be attracted to a Marco Rubio who might have the... He'd be the... listen, he has a better chance than Bob Dole... Greg, you know, put Bob Dole on the Tonight Show. He's a hoot.
I'm telling you, like, the Republican Party is not losing because of candidates. The Republican Party is losing because they're turning into the Dixiecrats fast.
What do you
if you ever think we're going to attract young people, Hispanics and or women, you're crazy. The people you go after are men. And they're union voting men. It's like how West Virginia flipped. Mm-hmm. That is the only way to win presidential elections for the Republican Party as it exists right now.
I would not completely disagree with
There's
that.
No way to... Mitt Romney lost youth by like 54%. He lost women by 65%, and he lost all minorities by over 70%. Even the Asians voted for Obama. You know?
Those bastards.
Well, I mean, they make a ton of money. You think they vote in their self-interest.
Asians?
No, I'm saying that they make a lot of money.
Didn't even the Jewish population go for Obama?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
That's what I thought.
Jews are Democrats.
Yeah, by and large.
Yeah. But to think that there's any way of playing Democrat Party plays identity politics. They find groups, they coalesce those groups into coalitions, and they get them to turn out. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party is supposed to be the party of the individual. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be the party of...
Ideology.
Ideology. When they abandoned intellectualism... by nominating people and promoting people like Sarah Palin over George Will, Charles Krauthammer over, picking people over Charles Krauthammer, like, sorry to say it, but Glenn Beck, mm-hmm. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, they abandoned the whole entire purpose of the party.
Right.
And that's why they keep getting their teeth kicked in, because if you look at it on paper, their makeup looks exactly like George Wallace running for president.
What does your modern Republican stand for? And it really seems very hollow. It doesn't really seem like there's a lot of ideology.
Which is the only reason I find Rand Paul so interesting, because his three main things have never been spoken about in the Republican Party.
What I noticed when I was a Republican is that there was not a lot of diversity of thought. And if you had issues or ideologies that went against the mainstream as spoken by talk radio, as sort of just said out loud by the group, then you are by and large ostracized, because you've got to hold on to that purity of thought, because if that idea, like libertarianism, starts to spread, then panic ensues, because then what do we really believe? Because the reason I became a libertarian is because I just couldn't defend my talking points anymore, and I started to search for what I actually believed, what actually might be the truth, how does the world actually work, as opposed to just parroting what Rush Limbaugh says. And that's when I became a libertarian, is because I started doing my actual homework. And by homework, I mean not just reading redstate.com or Drudge every day, but
like, what is government?
Like, what is government? Right. And what are taxes? Where do taxes come from? Not just, you know.
How do you form a government?
Right. And that's how I became a libertarian, and I'm constantly moving more and more away from Republicans and Democrats and other libertarians and more towards anarchy. You know, I even started to defend anarchy to her the other day, and I'm like, I know. It doesn't make sense to me either, really, but it's possible. She's like,
scary.
You're crazy.
It's
totally
scary.
Not.
So, what would we do without the police?
I'm
no.
Like,
no.
Crazy people would run rampant. Because there's
I
not
lived
a,
in Montana. Want to talk about not, crazy people running rampant?
Because there's not a murder every day in Indianapolis with government. They're doing a great job solving our problems. But, nonetheless, that's...
Wait, why is the government supposed to solve our problems?
Because we decided to outsource the human condition.
Right. And so, to me, Walker, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Bobby Jindal, they all just sort of seem like that talking points candidate. Rick Perry, too. You know, it's all sort of different shades of the same person.
He's got the anger, though.
Right.
Rick does.
I think and we'll get to Rand Paul last, okay? Let's talk about Mike Pence.
Do we have to?
Mm-hmm. I'm telling... Or you go ahead and explain what happened.
All right, so Greg has been convinced for months that Rick Perry is going to be the nominee because of all these various reasons that he's outlined. And I've said, nope, it's going to be Mike Pence, because I've run a campaign against Mike Pence. Mike Pence says absolutely nothing. He is incredibly disciplined at saying absolutely nothing. His team is incredibly disciplined at making sure that absolutely nothing ever leaks out. And the only thing the guy ever says is, it's like he took Hollywood writers, he took the writers from Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, dusted them off, and had him write talking points. Mr. Pence, what do you think about agriculture policy? You know, I think that farmers are important to America. I think they grow our food. And without them, we just couldn't eat.
We owe a debt of gratitude. Right. So I want everyone in this audience to shake the hand of the American farmer.
Right. It's these optimistic platitudes that contain absolutely no substance, but the primary voter will eat it up.
It's devastating, because how can you ever be against any of his positions?
He
doesn't have any.
No, none. He drove us and the Democratic candidate nuts. He drove the media even more nuts. Because he never said a word about anything. And you know what? Hoosier voters voted him in with, 60%? Because they didn't care.
And the Democrat candidate was the most Republican candidate I have ever seen in a Democrat party.
Guy, The guy who ran, John Gregg.
A great guy.
Great guy, great personality, super nice guy.
He had an amazing mustache.
Amazing mustache, pro-gun, pro-choice, anti-gay marriage. He completely lost all the Marion County Democrats here in Indianapolis.
Devastating.
Everybody in Lake County and Marion County, the two most populous, like, they're like, But then, like, you know, the farmers out in Richmond, they're like, I like that Greg guy.
Yeah.
But still, Mike Pence gets 60% of the vote because they don't care that journalists are sitting there. Like, platitudes work. The guy's Teflon because he says absolutely nothing, and he gets away with it because he doesn't give access to anybody who might even remotely challenge him.
He would have never made that 47% mistake. In a million years.
Uh-uh. And he is, when he does grant interviews, he's really good. He's a former broadcaster. He spent 10 years on the air. You know, everybody was like, oh, well, Rupert was a Survivor contestant. All he's ever done is perform on a reality TV show. The dude runs like four companies, a charity. He had more executive experience than the two lawyers who spent most of their careers talk radio show hosts. Both Pence and Greg were talk show hosts and lawyers. I think they were in the same class at IUPUI.
Yeah, in law school.
Yeah, like the same person running against Rupert. But, you know, Pence is a professional broadcaster. He is a lawyer. He's been in Congress forever. He's done all the Sunday shows a bunch. He's just the guy, and now he's got this BS record as governor. So here in Indiana, he is running on Mitch Daniels' fumes.
It's really annoying.
Mitch Daniels was, from a libertarian standpoint, Mitch Daniels was not a good governor. Mitch Daniels did not implement anarchy in Indiana. Okay, from a person who wants to move government in a libertarian direction, Mitch Daniels tried his best. There were a lot of things that I just flat out disagreed with Mitch Daniels on. Some of his government reforms were ridiculous. His property tax caps were ridiculous. But you could tell that the guy had really, he was a good manager of the bureaucracy. And he managed the bureaucracy in a libertarian direction. Now, not a libertarian government. Hear me clearly. I don't want your hate mail. Listen.
Oxymoron, right?
Right. He left the state in good shape, and Mike Pence has been running on those fumes for 2 years. The guy can't get anything passed at all in the General Assembly.
Which is ridiculous.
He had super majorities.
In House and Senate both.
And he could sign it, and he still couldn't get anything passed. The only thing that he's gotten passed is a bullcrap 5% income tax decrease.
A non-binding resolution saying that Hoosiers don't like the Holocaust is the biggest signing thing he's been able to get through.
This 5% tax decrease that he passed will put how much in our pockets? $20 a year? $33 a year. Now listen, I like my $33. It's a step in the right direction.
Would you rather have two extra Brozini's pizza or not this year?
That's exactly right. I can get at least 3/4 of a tank of gas a year off of what Mike Pence got me. You know what he proposed? 10%. And the supermajority in the House and the Senate gave him 5%. He is so ineffective, it is comical. The guy is a joke. He cannot manage. He could barely manage a campaign. He can barely manage the General Assembly. He cannot manage bureaucracy because he has never managed a thing in his life. He's never run a business. He ran for governor because he wanted to run for president. He would be a disaster of a president, just like he is a completely ineffectual governor. And you know why he's going to run in 2016 for president? Is because people are going to start figuring out that he is a bad governor and that he is running on Mitch Daniels' fumes. Hannah Drozich.
Okay, so I tried to get on his campaign once upon a time, a long time ago. And
we're all young. We all make mistakes. We're not judging you here.
I had helped out, and I regret this now, not for political reasons, but for other reasons. I had helped out his primary opponent run for governor. I had tweeted some stuff that I didn't like about Mike Pence because I just wasn't a fan. Anyways, so he wins the primary. He didn't even end up with a primary opponent, long story. He ends up winning in like July of the of 2012. I tried to get on the campaign. I was told that I couldn't be hired because I had tweeted out bad things about Mike Pence.
Right.
Yeah, because apparently I didn't match up to that perfectly closed-suited.
Right.
I was like, this is politics. Everybody works for their opponent's campaign at some point in time. Like, that's just how it works.
Not Mike Pence.
But not people. Mike Pence.
No, Mitch Daniels, his first commerce secretary was Mickey Maurer, a huge donor to Democrats here in Indiana. He was a Democrat. But he was, in Mitch Daniels' view, the best person to be Commerce Secretary. And Mitch Daniels was very much that team of rivals, the Buckley that we spoke about earlier, who wanted to bring people of differing points of view into government. Mike Pence values one thing above all else, and it is loyalty. And second value is, shh, don't say a word. Now, listen.
It's a good thing he didn't hire me.
Maybe the, yeah.
You'd maybe be dead somewhere.
Maybe there are, now listen, maybe there are people listening right now who are friends of ours that we love dearly, who work for Mike Pence and work on those campaigns. It's not that we don't love you. It's just that Mike Pence values, he is just like those other Republican candidates and the Republican Party himself. It is about, there is not to be diversity of thought. You are to be a white Christian male. Now listen, white's not a value, but it sure does seem that there's a lack of any type of diversity surrounding Mike Pence. They all kind of look like Mike. They all kind of talk like Mike. They all.
I think you have to sign a contract saying you will tweet positive things upon accepting a position. Because when he, I forget what bill it was he signed, and or no, it was the anniversary, and two guys, not the one we know and like, but two guys I know, one that married a girl that I know.
That bastard.
Yeah, he. on the day he sent out an Instagram picture and said, I am so in awe of Governor Pence. What an incredible leader and loyal friend. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Can I curse?
No.
Rather you not?
No.
Okay. Well, that's BS.
Okay, that's better.
Put it that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is anybody who works for Pence is a sycophant for Pence a little bit.
It's disgusting.
And it's.
That is a cult. He is a cult.
There's a little bit of that feeling
of
to it.
Going on.
Like Mitch Daniels, there was a difference between Mitch, and it's so fascinating to see the difference between Mitch and Mike and the people that are surrounding all of them, because it's two totally different groups of people. The people who work for Mitch Daniels did not go into working for the Mike Pence administration.
Were employable in the private sector.
Yeah, they literally, the people who worked for Mike Pence or who worked for Mitch Daniels refused to go to work for Mike Pence. Which should tell you something. And then secondly, if they stayed, they were asked to leave and not to come back because they were Mitch's people, not Mike's people. So it is really a fascinating study.
To me, that doesn't make sense why they would do that, just because Mitch Daniels ran Indiana in a phenomenal way, and he helped to bring us to what Mike Pence was right on.
It was looked at like a shot at Mike Pence because so good that what could Mike even do now?
Right.
Obviously, nothing.
He can't. He's totally ineffectual, but he is a great campaigner because he's never going to let us down. He's been totally staunchly conservative, even though the guy wrote the Patriot Act, even though the guy is the reason we have the TSA, even though the guy wrote into existence all of the stuff that Edward Snowden leaked. Mike Pence was the congressional liaison for making all of that happen.
But we don't say that.
Right. It used to be proudly on his website. If you went to his campaign and his house bios, and I've got a screen cap somewhere, he used to proudly talk about how he wrote the Patriot Act and helped us create the apparatus that is now spying on all Americans.
PRISM.
Not anywhere. Yeah, PRISM. That's the word I was looking for. He was the congressional liaison for all of that. You don't become third in the House not being a heck of a room worker, two, a smart individual, and three, a snake. So Mike Pence is the Teflon guy who is going to take out all of these other candidates.
But it's going to be hard for him to get action because like a lot what you described was John Huntsman.
No, I think he's going to do what he's going to.
He has nothing to run on.
I know, but that's so what he's going to do.
I love low taxes.
He's going to tease it out. But anything that these guys run on, what did Barack Obama run on? Yes, we can. What did Mitt Romney run on? The presidency today is not about actual policy solutions.
But primaries are. Primaries most definitely are. You got to get noticed. 999, Newt Gingrich, new ideas, getting mad at the press.
That's why
you have to tap into something.
That's why you've got SC Cup writing every other week about how Mike Pence is the golden child and how he should be the guy running.
Town Hall Magazine has a circulation of the We Are Libertarians website.
I'm saying, and that is true. it is accurate. I don't know. We're making that up to make ourselves feel better.
Make yourself feel less obsolete.
We're doing anything we can to make ourselves feel better.
Maybe Mike Pence is just going to run on Mitch Daniels.
No, he's just going to copy the Mitch playbook. He'll have all the conservative pundits, all the contacts in Washington, D.C., and the national reviews of the world. We want Mike.
It's going to be hard because of the way the primaries are set up. It's damn near ironclad that it's going to be Rick Perry and Rand Paul.
I'm telling you right now, you watch.
New Hampshire and Iowa are going to Rand Paul, matter what.
There will be polling for Mike Pence.
I've seen the polling.
Listen, Mike Pence's chief of staff, Bill Smith, just stepped down.
Yeah.
Why do you think his chief of staff just stepped down? Is it to go take a private sector job? No, it's to start organizing groups in Iowa and New Hampshire where Mike Pence is speaking. It's going to happen, but he's going to come in late, and he's going to let the Jindals and the Walkers and all these guys kind of get savaged, and then he's going to come in just at the right time because he has good timing. He tried to do the draft Mike to run for governor movement. Everybody knew he was running for governor, but for like 4 months he had all of the Republican, you know, websites in the state. Will Mike run? Will Mike run? He's going to do that. He's going to call all of his press from his Washington days, all the conservative pundits like George Will. They'll do a fluff piece on him. It'll be We Like Mike. You know, they'll play off of, all the great conservatives. It's already being set up as the three strongest conservative states are Texas, Indiana, and Wisconsin. So
Wisconsin?
Where did Wisconsin go?
That's an Obama state.
No, as far as economically, because of their governors.
Scott Walker can't win anyway. He never graduated Marquette.
But anyway, so Mike Pence is going to get in, and I think that he is the guy that has the best shot of winning the nomination.
If Mike Pence wins the presidency, I'm moving to Canada, and I'm not kidding. I'm about ready to move out of Indiana just because I'm tired of it.
Do you have health insurance? Because you are about to get thrown out of this house. You don't say you're moving to Canada. They are the enemy.
Fine, I'll move to Mexico.
All right, much better.
Okay.
Much better food.
It's a lot warmer, too.
Yeah.
My bad. I apologize.
Well, yes.
It's tough, though. On the national stage, people don't know Mike Pence. They don't.
No.
I hope not.
So they didn't know him here, and he's from here, sort of.
And he's not a standout guy.
The dude didn't even own a house in Indiana, I don't think.
Oh, but they went after Dick Lugar for not living. Okay,
but, Mike Pence, this is his go-around to get a national presence and recognition, because this is a lost cause for the Republicans. They're not going to win in 2016.
Thanks.
I don't think they'll ever win again, realistically, unless they change. But, they'd have to run literally the worst. Like, Joe Biden would have to be the nominee, and he'd have to go up there and tell, like, Jewish jokes about the Holocaust, and then they might lose.
Well, might or will.
Maybe, and I'm not for certain. And the reason why is that, and we talked about this the other day, is Mitt Romney ran a really smart campaign. He made one mistake. He isn't real likable, but he is sharp, and he comes off as effective at his job. There's
Mitt
no
Romney
debating
is
that.
Incredibly smart.
And so, when I watched that documentary, Mitt, I've never liked a person better in my entire life.
I haven't watched it, but I want to.
Oh, I was devastated because I don't believe like Mitt, but as character-wise, there's
person.
No one like him.
That's what always confused me about 2012, is that politics these days is so much more about personality than it is policy. And the presidency truly is about personality more than it is policy. Like, I think Barack Obama, we've talked about this on the show, I think he's a miserable failure in his own mind. And I think he's completely bored with the job because I think he didn't get anything that he wanted to get done passed.
The entire reason he left the Senate is because he was bored.
Right.
Harry Reid told him, he goes, you need to get out of here because you're going to go crazy.
And so he thought that he could actually change things as president, and you can't change anything because the bureaucracy, the machinery is too big. And
unless
so,
you
but he has
are
a pen.
Unless you're a middle of the road type of person.
Right, like a Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who ran on ending welfare in 92.
Southern Democrats are devastating
right.
every time.
So
I'll take Bill Clinton any day. Right now.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Mike Pence.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
So Mitt Romney, they don't. He wouldn't allow his team to talk about what a great guy he was. And
which
it's,
I
you
don't
know,
understand.
I don't understand.
Can I say something to go along with that? I worked for Romney. I didn't like him. I didn't vote for him in the primaries. I was not a fan. I decided to work for him because he was the nominee, and I didn't care. I just didn't want Obama in there. But I worked for him in New Hampshire, where he's actually from, not Massachusetts. And I knew people who legitimately knew him. And I heard so many stories about how he was – he and Anne were the nicest people in the entire world. And that's what changed me. Like, I was honestly just there to get him elected, and then I just completely changed, and I love them. Like, I think they are some of the most amazing people.
Oh, I agree. They couldn't be better. George W. Bush is the same way.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I have a crush
the same
on him.
Way. But that it doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't, because Republicans have been preaching the exact same message since 1980. Hell, actually, since before that, 64 with Goldwater. They have been talking about small government. They have been talking about how small government can solve people's problems, how government is not the problem, or is not the solution, it's the problem. The branding's never changed. The messaging's never changed. It has not been giving any new thought forever.
And I agree. I mean, like, I totally agree with that, and I think there definitely needs to be a change.
Until now. There is one candidate, and that's what we're going to segue into.
Who's never going to...
Who is the last Republican candidate that spoke at Howard University? Who is the last Republican president that spoke at Berkeley, the most liberal university in the United States? He spoke at and was the keynote speaker on privacy. Is he a cult personality? No. He's still got a lot of his dad in him. He's still kind of got that nerdy annoyingness in him.
Dad was a cult personality.
His dad was a cult believers. You know,
okay, fine.
Yeah, Ron Paul was never going to walk in a room and you were like, oh my God, that's Ron Paul.
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling from him. Like, I don't feel like he was the one who did that as a bunch of crazy people.
Exactly. Like, Ron Paul's beliefs created this cult of personality
crazy
around
people.
Him. But Rand Paul is doing his best he can to make people pretend that he is George W. Bush culturally. But he's also, his dad said it. I asked his dad at DePaul, and he said, listen, the only difference between Rand and I in philosophy is that I am a firm believer just purely in putting it out there, and Rand loves the game.
Yeah.
And that's all he said. And I was like, well, that makes perfect sense, because he's going to have to be the best actor in history, because the Republican Party wants Mike Huckabee.
Right.
You know, they want a Huckabee and Santorum ticket.
Oh my gosh.
And then... You know, federal mandate of mass
never
on Wednesdays.
Rick Santorum's name ever again?
Yeah, we're not
He's
even
running though. So
we're not even going to get into those two because there's zero chance of Santorum or Huckabee having any kind of shot.
Santorum won Iowa.
He did.
Yeah, but he didn't. They elected Mitt Romney over him. I mean,
no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you can't ever discount, because Rick Santorum's had a bunch of goes at this. Huckabee though is so damn likable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Huckabee won't go away. He's like...
No, Huckabee in 2011, in the Midwestern, it may have been even 2010, it was the Midwestern Regional Summit for the Republican Party or whatever. He was in town. Every single presidential candidate for the Republican Party came through except for John McCain. Oh, no, this is 2008. My apologies. This is 2007. And so it was Thompson, Huckabee. Thompson was the front
Giuliani.
Runner at that time. Giuliani was already done, so he didn't show up because he had already stopped campaigning.
Who I love, actually.
And
he's not a
that
bad guy.
Makes sense. And who else? Mitt Romney was there. Romney was like a robot. He awkwardly stood behind he was just awkward in every way. Technically great speaker, no soul, no passion.
He's an awkward person, though. He just is.
Fred Thompson, I could tell, was going to be done in a week and a half because the guy had zero personality, zero. He was like the front runner. But
are you having a tough time financially? Could you use some equity out of your home?
Nah.
Yeah.
AAG.
And then Mike Huckabee, nobody had heard of him yet, but the guy came in, shook every single hand in the press room. He couldn't shake my hand. I was the only one in the room that he could not shake his hand. I was working for a news talk station at the time. he went out of his way to say, wave at me, say, sorry, I wish I could get over there. I hope you understand. Then he went on to give this speech that was just blue collar, culturally conservative. We're going to win, unfailingly positive, just inspiring, funny, personable. Like, you could just tell the guy was about to blow up. And like a month and a half later, he was the front runner. But
he won West Virginia.
Right. But his problem is he's not trustworthy. He's got the Glenn Beck crowd. They hate his guts because he's not fiscally solid. He's not.
Oh, he has a horrible track record as governor. That's always going to be his.
Yeah. And he's just, man, he's the social. He's going to try and out Santorum Santorum. But he's, unlike Santorum, he's, you know. Listen, there's a joke I heard today on the radio show I work for. You know, sweater vests are really good for men who are concerned about not getting laid but keeping their core temperature steady. Okay? So if you want to remain a virgin yet stay warm and cool and maintain that body temperature, wear a sweater vest. So,
well, obviously he doesn't watch porn.
So we've covered everybody, and I think we can say without a doubt there's no front runner.
No, Rand Paul is just...
He's the only interesting person in the field.
Completely.
Except for Marco Rubio.
That, no, he's not interesting. Yeah. He's just the checklist candidate. Oh, no. He's Reagan, but he's got dark skin. Winning.
Yep.
Right.
You know?
Rand Paul is intellectually different. That is why we like him, because he's intellectually different. I mean, he's...
And if there's ever been a party that needs an updating message, it's this GOP.
His problem is... that he is going to get savaged by the press as a backward Neanderthal.
Because,
you know, he's crazy. He's conspiratorial. Right. He's, you know, he hates black people.
He's got solid street cred on that.
All they're going to do is roll out the Rachel Maddow audio of him talking about the civil rights stuff.
They will. And you know what he's going to hit everyone with in the debate? Why do you support drug policies that put black kids in jail 10 times as many times as white people?
But the problem is that he's also boring, too. He doesn't... When was the last time you listened to a Rand Paul speech and he gave you goosebumps?
Never.
You know, he's just not... He's just as bland as a Rubio, as a Walker, as any of those guys.
That's why he has to hit the exact right strain of the American populace at the exact right time.
I know. The only way that he gets the nomination... Because, by and large, it's all the... It's all the old timers who are socially conservative, who are untrusting, that maybe he's just not neoconservative enough. Now, of course, they're not neocons. They wouldn't call themselves neocons. But
they just want to be freed over there. We should go help them.
Listen, if you live anywhere other than America, you should have troops where you live. Here in America, we should also have troops where we live.
We call them Freedom Knights.
Right. So I think Rand Paul has to hit every note completely right.
He's going
to
run on the NSA.
Too many things have to go his way for him to get the nomination.
But he's going
to
run on the NSA, and that's going to hit a nerve. It really will, because he won't make it about letting the terrorists get away. He's going to make it about, do you really want us reading what you're searching for on Google? That's why he's been able to go to Berkeley University. It's why he's been able to go to Howard and be well-received. He got a standing ovation at Berkeley in Massachusetts. Berkeley EE, like... That's incredible. Right. A standing ovation from a bunch of granola-eating hippie kayakers.
Yeah.
What do you have against them?
They smell horrible.
They smell like patchouli oil.
Yeah. And bong water.
No, I mean, Rand Paul is the guy who you really saw it. You really saw the beginning of an actual true third-way political party during his filibuster when he had Code Pink and Van Jones agreeing with Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. And
it's a uniter.
He is the only uniter out of any candidate other than Gary Johnson and the LP. He is the only candidate who can unite Tea Parties with Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street people. Like, he's, if he can pull it off, he's got to be perfect, though, and that's the tough part.
He absolutely, and he's done it, though, well so far. Like when he went down to the Fellowship for American Families down in Texas. And they, you know, how do you feel about gay marriage? And he says, perfectly. He goes, well, as far as my religious beliefs, I do not believe in it. But I, as a small government conservative, I don't believe the state has a role in that. It's that cost taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Brilliant. I mean, to me, that's perfect messaging.
So let's hop onto the LP train. If we're done with scumbag Republicans. Hey, you.
Yes.
What do you mean, you people?
Which you?
Hey, you scumbag Republicans. Never. Before we move off of your people onto my people. What are your final thoughts? Who do you think truly is going to win the nomination 3.5 years before we actually get there?
Honestly, I don't think anybody in this mix is. There's got to be a dark horse candidate out there. I just don't see it.
Maybe a unicorn in a red tie.
I don't know. Somebody said George H.W. should run again, so y'all know. He might have a heart attack while he's speaking, but...
Hey, Bob Dole's out there. He's bashing Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, and, you know, he's only a spry 90 years old, so...
No, Rick Perry's the one I'd watch.
No. Marco Rubio, though, I still think he's got it.
But the one who's going to be VP no matter what. No matter what.
Definitely Marco Rubio.
No, Susana Martinez, New Mexico governor. She's a rock star.
Really? Why?
Rock star. And I don't mean this in any way bad, but like, she is every mom in America. Like, you look at Susana Martinez, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of her, but you should all Google her. You look at that way, and she's like, she is so sweet. Like, she's got to be fantastic. She's got to be the nicest person ever. She's intelligent. She's hardworking. She worked her way up on her own. Her husband's like a police officer. They are the real deal. They followed Gary Johnson right after he left in New Mexico. She's declined twice now that she's ever interested in being president, but my God, this woman is amazing. Huh. She is populist, but a small government Republican. And I could not think like more highly of her as a person, too.
Yeah.
She kind of scares me like a mom would scare me.
Yes. Does she not?
She looks like she, yeah.
Spangle.
She looks like she just is yelling at her kids.
Yeah.
But like, she is the lady, like, she's that one that if you're ever going to have a shot, like, Sarah Palin had no chance at ever getting women voters because they all looked at her like, she's too pretty, I hate her. You know, like, this woman has got a chance.
See, I don't still understand how people think that Sarah Palin's pretty.
Oh, I'd marry her right now.
Oh, yeah, I think she's pretty.
Oh, I'd marry Willow, Bristol, what, all of them.
Well, yeah, they're cute, but really?
Okay, so on to Gary Johnson, nice. My main man. I love Gary Johnson. Nicest guy in politics. True, I ended up in the 2012 campaign. I got to see him a couple times here in Indiana. And I ended up somehow, this is how I know he's a good guy and not a scumbag politician. Because he had just gotten the nomination to be our presidential candidate at the LP convention in Vegas. He wandered in to the banquet dinner. He came up to the back tables where Sam Goldstein and I were sitting. And he goes, you know, I'm not sure if I have an assigned seat here or anything, but could I sit with you guys? And I ended up sitting next to Gary Johnson the whole night. And chatting with him and his wife or his fiance, who's lovely, like just totally nonchalant, not presumptuous, like didn't march up to the front with his team or like, you know, sort of a little bit of that, you know, Jimmy Carter carrying his own bags deal. But I just loved him to death because I like that kind of humility, very humble guy.
And he's like, you talk about a up from his bootstrap story.
Totally.
That guy's
amazing. The guy started a handyman service and turned it into the biggest
in college.
Yeah, the biggest construction company in all of New Mexico. And is independently wealthy. I mean, he's just been doing politics, running for president for the last few years, and he does, I don't know if he makes an income.
Vetoed
or not,
like every single bill that ever came in front of him. Like, I love him.
vetoed more bills as governor than probably any other governor ever in the history of governors.
The best line of all the Republican debates when he said that my dogs have created more shovel-ready projects than the stimulus plan.
Yeah, just like, a very funny guy, just constantly doing stuff to reach out to voters and talk to them. If you don't know who Gary Johnson is, you got to check him out. I promise you'll love this guy. Great candidate. You know, he went out of his way, you know, whereas our 2008 presidential candidate, Bob Barr.
You mean the guy that authored DOMA?
Right. Tried to pretend like he was a big deal because we've got to raise the bar in the Libertarian Party, so we need to act like a presidential candidate should. And restrict access and try and not work with affiliates, try and not work with the people that support him. Gary Johnson, you ask him to do something, his campaign would do it. They just loved working with affiliates, loved growing the Libertarian Party, loved spreading the message, never turned down an interview. Like, if it was a podcast of 13 people, he'd probably do it just because he wants to get his message out and he knows he has to work his butt off. So he's just such a hard worker. And legitimately, if the guy got elected president, could do the job. You know, not a joke candidate, a serious candidate. So your snarky comments, Hannah Drozich, please.
He ran as Republican?
Mm-hmm.
So did Ron Paul.
Right.
I know, but...
Ron Paul ran on the Libertarian platform.
All you Libertarians come from the Republicans eventually.
Oh, that is bullcrap.
So true.
That is bullcrap.
So true.
No. Joe Ruiz, he's a former Democrat.
Fine, you guys all came from another party. You can't independently
that's
come
not
up
true.
By yourself.
Trying to think of an example.
Libertarianism, though, is...
I'm trying to think of
come
an
across
example.
It.
Here's the thing. Libertarian party stuff, okay? Libertarians, if you're politically active, you're probably going to go into one of the two parties because that's what's on TV. You just don't know any better. And then you sort of, you know, wise up and have a conversion experience like I did, and you grow up and you stop thinking in simple terms like you Republicans and Democrats and become more sophisticated. You know, it's not that we're better than you. It's just that we're smarter.
Yeah, but Gary Johnson ran as a Republican presidential candidate.
And governor.
Right.
Got beat, so he decided to join the Libertarians and run as a Libertarian.
Yeah, but that doesn't... He's been a Libertarian Party member since, like, 1996, I think it was.
Justin Amash, Thomas Massey, they're all Libertarians.
So why didn't
they just run as Republicans?
Why didn't he initially run as a Libertarian? Why did he have to go as a Republican first?
Listen, a party...
I'm listening.
A Libertarian Party, a Republican Party, a Democratic Party. A party is an empty shell.
It's a vessel.
It is
I'm disagreeing with that, but why did he have to run as a Republican before he ran for a Libertarian?
I don't understand what
exposure.
I don't understand what your point is.
Exposure and resources. That's what you're going after, though, isn't it?
Probably, but yeah. Why do that in the same year, switch from Republican to Libertarian?
No, it's the reason why he didn't is because he lost, and for him, it makes more sense to continue spreading the message of what he believes rather than just fade away like
instead
the other candidates.
I think the reason that he stopped running as a Republican is that he was denied access to debates and as a Republican. So, like, CNN would have a debate with all the Republican candidates, and they wouldn't put him in the debate because, well, we've got Ron Paul. What do we need you for?
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, well, screw it then. If I'm not going to get in the debates, I'm certainly not going to have any kind of shot at winning the nomination. I'm not going to get a mention at all. So why even bother? It's sort of like who is the one congressional candidate from like Ohio or Michigan who was running on the Republican ticket? Everybody really liked him. Like The Daily Show would have him on. But he wasn't in the debate.
Dennis Kucinich?
No, it was somebody else. I can't think of who it was. But like real well-respected congressman from Michigan, I think it was. And
Republican?
Yeah, and he was on the Republican ticket. He just wasn't in any of the debates, so he didn't get any play. He didn't get any airtime. So Gary Johnson just said, you know what? I want to continue to run and continue to spread my message. I am a Libertarian. Why wouldn't I run with the Libertarian Party so they have a credible candidate? And Gary Johnson was on like 47, 48 ballots in the United States. Gary Johnson was on the ballot in Texas, but it was a different Gary Johnson because they screwed... Actually, no. Here's what happened. Michigan screwed us out of having him on the ballot in Michigan, and so they had a write-in campaign for Gary Johnson, but it was the Gary Johnson who's now the vice chair of the Texas Party. So we just found a Libertarian named Gary Johnson and put him up for president.
Ultimately, though, I mean, Gary Johnson's, to me, he is... He's the ideal of what, for me, the Republican Party would be. He really is, because he's not anti-government. He just wants to get government down to the size federally where it's insignificant.
No, I have nothing against him. I just find it very confusing when candidates run on one for one party and then run on another party in the same.
Well, cycle. He wouldn't have been able to because of spoiled sore loser laws. So he tested the waters, but he clearly was not going to get any traction as a Republican.
And it's pretty hilarious that the last election was about the economy and healthcare, and of course, CNN tried to make the only doctor standing up there, Dr. Ron Paul, and the only person that had built a almost billion-dollar business, Gary Johnson, almost look like fake candidates.
Crazy people.
There again, CNN's never been one for credibility.
But see, here's the problem with Republicans is that, oh, well, why did he have to, you know, well, it's because the Libertarian in the field couldn't get a shot at playing in your sandbox, so he went to his own sandbox and took it directly to the people. And that's, you know, so when I hear Republicans, and I'm not saying you're doing this, oh, well, you should just come back to the Republican Party so you can change it from the inside. It's like,
oh,
well,
I'm not saying that at all.
Here's a guy who was who grew a billion-dollar business and was a highly successful, strong fiscal conservative, libertarian-leaning Republican governor for two terms. He couldn't play in your sandbox at the presidential level because he just wasn't ideologically consistent with all of your beliefs.
Because you don't love diversity of thought, and who'd have thunk that minorities wouldn't vote for you.
Right. So, all right. Give us a brief overview of the Democrats because I'm growing tired.
There's three. There's Hillary Clinton. It's 95% she's going to win the nomination. Ugh. Joe Biden gets the other four. The last 1% is going to be split between a guy named Brian Schweitzer, the Montana governor, and then Elizabeth Warren. That's the breakdown of the field.
Elizabeth part Indian.
But Elizabeth Indian. Warren's going to, well, kind of. Because if anyone can call. I'm not sure, though. She's not sure if it's Dot or Feather.
Oh, my. Should I edit that out?
No. It's not. Is that bad?
It's a little racist.
It's a little bad, yeah.
It's a little bad.
Really?
It's funny.
I'm Native American.
We had an Indian comedian on my main show, on the Bob and Tom show, and they said, Tom always asking the questions that listeners want to hear, is Dot and Feather, is that offensive to you? And he said, well, I'm a comedian, so nothing really offends me, but yeah, I would say that you probably shouldn't ask that. So we'll take it straight from the Indian's mouth.
Okay.
Wow.
Could you clarify which one?
No, I won't. You just have to listen to the Bob and Tom show. Check local listings 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern.
No, I know I put you guys
they're
like...
They're until
10. Yeah.
Until 9.
Yeah.
But Hillary, I mean, Hillary's... you guys would all agree, I imagine. She's like, it's almost like if Christ came back within the Democrat Party, that would be Hillary Clinton's.
Wait, I thought that was Barack Obama.
No.
Oh, wait, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. This is him coming back.
No, he was the Antichrist. He had to come before the true Christ, Hillary Clinton, to come back and save the party. Joe Biden, if Joe's got guts and he can convince enough people that he's credible, I think he can do really well because he'll hammer on Benghazi within their own party. He really will. Elizabeth Warren is going to be in there just to make sure that Hillary doesn't tack middle, to make sure that she still attracts liberals. And Schweitzer will be irrelevant. It might be in the first debate, but as I showed you guys today, this guy is... He's not even America. He's Murica with an MU.
He's from Montana.
He's the
what
most Republican
expect?
State, a Democrat from the most Republican state, two-time elected.
The most Republican state, but... There's a lot of Democrats out there.
The last time they went blue was probably the New Deal.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty Republican.
They're really union, and there's a lot of really crazy people out there.
But, like, he...
They just don't vote.
He is so exciting to me because, honestly, who he reminds me of is Huey Long.
Right.
He is that wet, but, like, he's like Reagan a little and John Wayne. His campaign ads are of him roping a cattle, shooting clay pigeons.
That's what they do in Montana.
No, but
have you never been there?
I know it, but it's so masculine and manly and like
Montana is masculine and manly and amazing.
Well, I know, I agree. And like, but he's a hardcore, like he's pro business, yet he's pro single payer. He like hits you from the right and the left. He's a really tough candidate. And then he's the most pro-gun. Like, the NRA probably has a shrine in some hallway to this guy.
The average Montanan household has 27 guns in it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
I told you, they're Canada's Israel.
Oh, it's amazing.
All that freedom around
the
oppression.
I loved living in Montana. If there were jobs out there, I would be back there in a heartbeat. It was amazing.
Yeah. But, like, he's got no shot at all. But
no pun intended.
No, he's a good shot. But if you have never seen the guy, he's so darn likable. It's amazing. Like if he could ever get a little publicity, I think he would be the Reagan of the Democrat Party.
All right, I've grown tired of big party politics and big government candidates. These darn statists.
Wanted to do this topic.
I did. No, I thought it was interesting. And I think it gives the people something to think about. But it just kind of makes you depressed because there's, like, other than Rand Paul and Gary Johnson, literally no hope.
If Rand gets the nomination, this is the thing. If you really want change, you can't elect a Rand Paul.
He's like Barack Obama. I mean, Barack Obama's an ideologue, yep. And to get the change that Rand or Ron Paul would want, or that Barack Obama would want, you'd have to be the most tyrannical president of all time and sign a bunch of executive orders.
Yep. Well, that's what Barack Obama did.
Yeah, but like on a scale of like 10 times, like Randy Camacho, Mountain Dew, what's his face from Idiocracy.
Yeah.
So.
Realistically, if you're an individual and you're listening and you're not committed to either party, you want Joe Biden. I'm telling you, you do. You want Joe Biden or you want Chris Christie. If you want bills to get passed, if you want reform, it's going to be incremental. It's not going to be sweeping change. It's not going to be a restructuring of government. But you will get change and you will get the end of gridlock by electing candidates like Chris Christie and like Joe Biden.
Agreed.
Barack Obama would have had the worst presidency since Jimmy Carter if it weren't for Joe Biden. Every single bill was done by two people, Rahm Emanuel and Joe Biden. That is it.
Yeah.
Rahm Emanuel ran it where he scared people, and Joe Biden would come in and sweet talk him. It was good cop, bad cop. And Barack Obama sat there talking about, my God, like John Rawls and what it had to do with, you know, intellectual society. It was. He's not a leader at all.
Right.
But those kind of people don't get elected in primaries.
It's not you guys. I got up at 4 this morning, so.
Me too.
Anytime you start talking about Joe Biden, I get sleepy.
Well, go ahead and stand up.
Stand up, Chuck. Stand up, Chuck. All right, boys and girls. Well, listen. This has been an episode of Weird Libertarians. Let's do a round the soapbox thingy. Greg, you start. Here's the deal. If you don't remember, Hannah, you get to promote anything you'd like, say anything that you'd like, tell the people, tell the tens of listeners anything that you want to self-promote. I don't care. This is your time. Gregory.
Most interesting story I thought this week was this new test run of the government driver's license of the internet. I don't know if you followed that story at all or saw that came up. It's pretty obscure. It was on Libertarian Reddit, but it's really interesting that it's almost like you're going to have – there'll be no anonymously surfing the web.
Hmm.
But the benefit is you get almost instantaneous access to any website, XYZ, you know what I mean, instead of the pain in the ass of registering, sending yourself an email, clicking on the confirmation email. They're going to make it where it's almost like a driver's license for the internet, with the benefit being that lack of hassle. And that is – pretty awful, in my opinion. I don't like it at all.
Nope. Mm-mm. Me neither.
I agree.
Your turn.
Go Marco Rubio.
Oh, boy.
He's amazing. I don't know.
You're blowing it.
I'm about as tired as Chris is.
Yeah.
For no good reason. Nope.
I have that effect on women.
Yeah, it's been pretty boring.
It's those neon sleeping. Green shorts.
Oh, my God.
And my yellow shirt.
My God.
Yellow shirt. Yeah.
Are you colorblind?
And also, he's wearing a Tea Party emblem.
This is not a Tea Party.
Shirt.
Don't tread on me. It was totally ours emblem. Before yours.
Well, they have marketed it better than you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Say goodnight, Anna.
Bye.
All right. I don't really have anything to promote. Brazzini's Pizza.
This is yes.
The greatest pizza in the city of Indianapolis. I love it. Find good pizza. Don't eat Pizza Hut. Come on. People, let's not do that.
That's called Canadian pizza,
right? All right, boys and girls, thank you for listening. Next week, Maya returns, and possibly James Neese, who will be a dad. We'll get into that.
Do you think his son will actually come out of the earth and it'll split open with horns?
He says his plans for it is to teach it how to play multi-reality. Video games. I don't know. I didn't understand the term or whatever, but it was nerd crap. But that's his plans for it.
I fully expect when that kid is born that the seven trumpets will play in heaven, and we will see the Antichrist come out of the ground, and then people can be sure that Barack Obama is the Antichrist as well.
Yeah. All right, boys and girls, thank you for joining us on this episode of We Are Libertarians. Next week, Maya returns, and as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.